Blog Talk Radio.
Jeannie, I can't hear you.
You're on, Michael.
I'm on. All right. Well, welcome to Blog Talk Radio. Jeannie's doing the welcome in the background, but she must have her mute button on. Anyway, we're glad that you're here to listen to Forgiveness Radio. It sounds like David's on with me. Welcome, David. For those who are new to the show or may not have met David, David is a manager at Heartland, the inventor of the Building the Brain Cells game. And has been doing this work with us now for, I guess, going on 4 years at Heartland now, David, right?
Oh, I've been here at Heartland 4 years this May. It's a quick four years, and it's just amazing. You know, it's a beautiful, gorgeous day today, and Ken is here, and we're getting things ready. And I know that the intensives are going to be so powerful this year with the things that are being completed and getting ready for, and the work that's going on out in the universe, and the people that are involved and learning about this maybe for the first time, and then people that have been doing the work for a while, and for those of you that may be listening in that have been to Heartland and have done the intensives, then with the remodeling that we have done and the facilities that we've improved on, I think that you'll be really, really pleased. I have talked with Ari and on a couple of occasions, and he's planning to be here, so we know that this intensive is going to be life-changing for anyone who comes in and attends it. So we're
Ari is our chef. Let people know who Ari is. Ari is our chef. He's an awesome raw food chef from Chicago. And during our intensives, we do a total fresh and raw dietary regimen. And the food is absolutely awesome. What Ari has put together, actually, we'll have meat eaters that come to Heartland, people that eat dead flesh, and they'll say, well, you know, I never thought I could give up my animals, but if I could eat this way all the time, I'd be a raw vegetarian overnight. And so it'll be cool to have Ari there supporting us. He's created all the menus at Heartland, or most of them, not all of them, but most of them, and helps us to carry out the food program. And if you've never eaten, go ahead.
Yeah, and he's a renowned chef in all the foods, not just in the raw foods. He's just an incredible chef all around in what it is that he does. And for folks that aren't aware of that, then the people that do come to attend the intensives will also get some training. An opportunity to learn, not just to enjoy the food, to learn how to prepare the food, and so that when they leave, then they'll have an experience of it. You know, as you know, Michael, then everything is really about having the experience of it. Words do not give me an experience of anything. They may trigger it, they will trigger and resonate different things that I have in the brain cells. And it's not the experience of it. So you know that it's going to be so fabulous to experience Ari's food preparation and just the people and the transformations that they're going to be making here. And Ken, if you're with me, just walked in. Well, go ahead. Go ahead.
The space that Ari holds in the kitchen is awesome. It's fun. He has a million stories from his food preparation days. He's a walking encyclopedia. Most people, when they're in the kitchen, part of the intensive process is to actually get your hands on and prepare some of this fresh and raw food. And Ari just never stops giving out of his fountain and his wealth of information. He just continuously is sharing information about food. Probably one of my favorite stories that Ari tells is about the party he did for six people for Bill Gates, and the six-person party was a dinner party, and the bill for the six-person party was $35,000. So that gives you some idea of what Ari does with food. It's pretty awesome. And
you know, when I talk with and last, I had invited him to be on the radio show here, and I don't know if he might even chime in today. I'm not sure if it's the day he was going to see if it was going to be available, and certainly before the intensives begin, we'll have him on, and for people that might have some questions around what it is that we do here. So.
Yeah, actually, we could probably do a show based on food. That would be fun. That would be awesome, on the power of food to enhance the healing process and to move energy through the system, which, of course, is what the intensive process is all about.
Yeah, you know, maybe, and you know, there's so many things that we could talk about, Michael. And when you said that about the food, it opened up my files about when people go on diets, when they decide that they're going to make changes in their life. And one of the things that I learned through your work is that one of the challenges that most people aren't aware of, that when they go on a diet, that they choose to improve their health and their eating habits and to change some habits and so forth, well, then their body gets vitalized. And then from that vitalization, then things will come up for them. And one of the reasons why people go back to eating is not because that they're hungry so much. It's not because that they are that they want to be back to the way that they were. It's that the body is vitalized enough in order to handle emotional things. And without being able to have that information to know that, that's why, you know, there was a wonderful book that was written that I liked, is that diets don't work, because those things come up and then people resort right back to the programs and the things that they used in order to keep things dissociated.
People going back to eating, you're talking about people going back to eating junk, eating their drug-style foods as opposed to vitalizing. Yeah.
Well, like I said, we could have a show about that. And, you know, there's so many topics that we could talk about. That's why we invite people to call in and or to text us or chat in and give us a question, something that they may want to talk about today or process. See if anyone has been listening, has experimented with doing a worksheet and or the purpose, personal power, and commitment, anything that they've noticed, so that we can give them some support and feedback and as they learn this. You know, it's all about learning. You know, we have to have people in order to show us and give us some instructions and guidance with that, and then through their experience of doing this, whether they're going to have their realizations and what it is that works for them.
If anybody has completed the worksheet process on purpose in the last couple of days with the show that we've done around purpose, and if you weren't with us, you can go back and tap into the archives on those sessions that we did around purpose. And so if anybody's on the air that's completed your statement of purpose and would be willing to call us and share it, that would be awesome. And we can give you some feedback on that, and or if you have any questions on that worksheet, we'd love to hear from you. So type your message into the chat room and or give us a call. And the number is, David, have you got the number in front of you?
Oh, what is it,
646-200-4167?
I do not have it in front of me. Let me
4169, I believe it is. Let's see, is Jeannie on with us yet, or has she got a problem with her phone? Are you there, hon?
She would have chimed in.
Yeah. I presume she's got some telephone challenges.
Michael.
Yes.
Hello?
The phone number is 646-200-4169.
4169. Thank you, young lady. That's Lady Jane, for those who recognize her voice.
Mm-hmm. Enjoying
you
your talk.
There? Okay,
yeah.
Thanks.
Well, it's interesting. Jane, did you just press 1 and were you automatically taken into it? Or did you just call the number and you're on? You just pressed the 1 and you were automatically into it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Well, obviously, Jeannie has, it's not going through the Jeannie's program.
Can you all hear me now?
There she is.
Oh, there she is.
I had to turn it off and turn it back on. I don't know why it wouldn't hear me. I could hear everybody else, but I went ahead and turned Jane on before I disconnected so that she could talk.
That's fine. All right, cool.
Very good. So, Jane, do you have anything exciting to report today?
Not really. The sun is shining here, and that's great. But mainly I just called quickly to give them the phone number.
Thank you.
I'm just listening today.
Okay. Well, we'll just listen with you.
Okay. Bye.
Love you, Jay.
Bye-bye.
So anyone in the chat room, now that you're available, Jeannie?
No, there's a couple people out there listening, and one person just asked for the website, and I gave it to them, so we'll give that over the air as well. It's www.whyagain, and that's whyagain.com, and the phone number is 646-200-4169 to call in with your questions.
Very good. And if you happen to be in South Florida, we've got one more free workshop tonight at Unity of Pompano in Pompano Beach, Florida. And 7 till 9:30, we'll be doing Introduction Advanced Understanding of A Course in Miracles. So you can join us tonight at 7 o'clock. And then tomorrow, all day, we'll start at 9 in the morning, go through till 9 at night, and then 9 till 6 on Sunday, we'll be doing a combination of a kind of a mini intensive where we'll do the workshop Why Is This Happening to Me Again. We'll tap into the purpose worksheet. We'll be looking at purpose, personal power, commitment. We'll also be covering getting the stress you need, mind shifters, and still point breathing. So that'll be what we'll be doing this weekend. So anybody that wants to participate in that intensive process could give us a call. My cell number is 954-205-4996. And if you have a question or a thought for us on the show, we'd love to hear from you. And or if, especially if you have your purpose statement that you've completed or on the way to completing that you'd be brave enough to share with us so that we can give you some support with it, join in mind in creating that, supporting you in creating it, and or any feedback where you might be able to improve it. We'd be delighted to share that with you.
And the number to call in is 646-200-4169. I think you gave them your personal cell phone.
Well, I gave them the cell phone if they wanted to call about the
okay.
The intent. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I did do that. Anyway, let's talk about this idea of vitalizing with food. And of course, all the tools that we use are designed to vitalize. And what happens when you vitalize? Well, what occurs is that the average person lives their lives in this state of moving downward in energy. They call it aging, where the system just winds down and kind of fades out and disappears. They call that death. And the reason for that is because most people don't want to deal with their lives. Most people have a genetic predisposition toward disintegration, disease, and death. And because they don't have the tools, they don't know how to change the direction of that. And this work is about starting to look into the deeper parts of our own psyche and remove those frequencies. We are energetic beings. We are not physical beings. And as energetic beings, there are only two qualities of energy relative to our field. There's that which builds our field up and that which tears the field down. And when you begin to forgive, that is, remove those tear-down energies, then you're not governed by that law of entropy. You're not winding down. You're actually moving into higher and higher and higher states and higher states of order. So that's the idea of the willingness to do your work. And as you do something that vitalizes, for instance, you run out and you get yourself a Coke, pardon me, I shouldn't say that word, a soda with, let's say, spiked with aspartame. Aspartame is one of the deadliest substances on planet Earth. But they tell you, that aspartame, it's got no calories. What wonderful stuff. But they don't tell you that it also kills the apostat. So people who use aspartame as a sweetener tend to gain more weight because their apostat doesn't work. Their stomach doesn't tell them when they're full. The brain doesn't communicate the message. So they keep eating, and eating. So somebody who sits and eats a meal with a soda filled with all kinds of different poisons, caffeine, phosphoric acid, et cetera, and an icy cold drink, and then puts a half pound of burger in their mouths with a good sized chunk of bread. And of course, bread is a starch which needs an alkaline medium to digest, and protein is requires an acid medium. You put those two together, you don't get much digestion. Then you add the icy cold water and dilute the digestive secretions, you've got the formula for weakening your structure. And people are attracted to things that weaken their structures if they don't want to deal with their lives. And so when you start doing things that vitalize, especially what you put in your mouth and what you put in your mind, you tap into vitalizing energies. Then what happens is, as you strengthen your structure, will start to throw off those old energies that never belonged, those toxins, those things that are of a disintegrative nature. So one of the reasons why the real true healing process is not very popular is that you have to deal with whatever you've been putting into your structure, whether it's thoughts, feelings, physical energies like junk food, drugs, alcohol, etc. But those things need to be dealt with, and as the body gets vital enough to throw them off, then you go through the symptoms on both the physical and mental level, and then as well, the emotional level, the energy starts to move. So on a physical level, healing could look like any kind of, and I mean any kind of physical symptom you've ever had, and low energy. Why low energy? Because when you become vital enough, you know, you build up to a good, you know, real high state, then the structure says, okay, I can now detoxify what I wasn't able to handle previously, and starts to dig that out. And as it digs it out, it's kind of like taking the structure apart. Takes a lot of energy, and then to rebuild it takes a lot of energy. And so that low energy on a physical level becomes part of the process of healing. On a mental level, it looks like any kind of negative thought you've ever had, and confusion. When you begin to dig up those old dissociated energies, open up the dissociated mind, up comes confusion, old pain, old trauma. And on an emotional level, it looks like any kind of negative feeling you've ever had, and depression. So when you start to look at that, you see that things begin to shift as you vitalize, and you have to allow the space for those old energies to come up and to move out. And as you're conscious of the process that's happening, you don't get lost in what's moving out. You keep your eye on where you're heading. And that simply accelerates the process of healing immeasurably when you do that. And I like to speak about the necessity of having cosmic grease. And cosmic grease is the willingness to embrace whatever you've hidden from yourself, whatever's been hidden in your bloodline, your generations. So the last couple of days we talked about the video, which you can Google and watch, and it's awesome, called The Ghost in Your Genes. And what they're showing is that these generational, these toxins, physical toxins, the effect of famine is impacting the children 100 years later. They're documenting this. That means that there are energies left over from those generations, which means that when you step into healing, you're going to start to deal with the energies of the generations. You're going to get to experience some of the thoughts, some of the feelings, some of the traumas that the previous generations had not dealt with, and therefore locked into the genes. And as you become willing enough, and as you vitalize yourself and strengthen yourself, then your structure will start to throw off those things that never belong. And guess what? Your children and their children's children and their children's children don't have to carry out that genetic effect, because you've been willing enough to step into and do the work that it takes to process those things out. Anything that goes into the system that is of a disintegrative nature on the way back out is going to look exactly the way it did on the way in. As you truly do the Aramaic forgiveness work, you'll be changing and rewriting your genes. You'll take out the toxic effects that have been denied and dissociated from for generations and clean it up. That's part of the process of healing. And part of the process of forgiveness, which, if you're new to the show and you haven't been introduced yet, I suggest that you go to www.whyagain.com. That's our website. Jeannie is the webmaster. And on the right-hand side, you'll see a link that says download worksheets. First item under that link is a new chapter 24 from my book, Why Is This Happening to Me? Again, it's a free download, and it gives instructions on how to fill out the sheet. And then the second item is our latest seven-step reality management sheet. This is the how-to of forgiveness from the Aramaic. And as we've said repeatedly, and we will say probably every day on this show for the rest of eternity, we'll be saying that forgiveness isn't about letting somebody else off the hook, because there's a frequency nested in you. An awesome quote from a fellow named Max Planck, who's receiving the Nobel Prize in Physics. And here's what Max says. He says, "As a man who spent his entire life studying matter, I can tell you this much. There is no matter as such. Our entire world is made of succeedingly smaller patterns of vibratory fields nested one within another within another." And when you recognize what's been nested in your field, when you have a trauma that comes along, a disintegrative energy that comes into your awareness, into your experience, and you say, you know, I don't want to feel this, I don't want to deal with this, give me a fifth of scotch, you literally lock that nested frequency into your genes. And guess what? Your future generations are going to get to deal with it, just like you're dealing with the stuff of the previous generations. Now, I have this sneaking suspicion that maybe we're our own ancestors, so it's only ourselves we're doing it to. But it's time for us to wake up and time to start to really engage in unloading the dramas, the traumas, the insanities that have been passed on to us through our genetics, through our family systems, and through our environmental systems, and wake up to who we really are. So, Jeannie, any questions in the chat room, or anybody on the phone that has a question for us or wants to share their worksheet from the Purpose Workshop?
There are several people both on the phone and in the chat room, but they're all just listening. Nobody's got their hand up. So.
Okay, well, we're glad you're listening. Again. We're delighted you're with us.
Phone number 646-200-4169, or ask a question in the chat room, and I'll read it out to Michael.
Jeannie. Michael?
You've got a question in the chat room, Jeannie?
No.
I didn't know if he had. I don't know. Ken has a question here.
Oh, cool. Hi, Ken. Glad you're there. Hi, thank you for all your assistance. David has been sharing with me what you've been doing and helping to finish off the renovations and the expansion of the Heart Center. We so appreciate the fact that you're there supporting us. And
oh, you're very welcome. I'm really pleased I can do it, and I'm having a blast doing it. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, for those who haven't met Ken, Ken is a very dear friend from many decades ago. Actually, Ken was with me when we found Heartland. The first time we were there, he was part of the process of searching for the land that is now Heartland back in December of 1989, I guess. November, December 1989.
Yeah. Wow.
Seems like just a few weeks ago, doesn't it, Ken?
It does, yeah. You're right. Hey, so you were mentioning about the famine and the generations related to the famine stuff, and could you explain that a little bit more? I kind of lost it with a little bit of our connection here.
Oh, okay,
and,
sure.
That's kind of fascinating to me, so if you could explain that again, just because I missed part of it, thank you.
Sure. Okay. Well, if you go back into the Aramaic language, which is the root language of five of the world's major religions, and it's not a religious language, it's a physics language. It's about physics, it's about physiology, it's about psychology, it's about genetics. You hear them say the sins of the father will be passed, yea, unto three and four generations. In other words, they understood the energy dynamics. This is a physics language. That every frequency that came into the field and that wasn't dealt with was registered in the field. And that meant that it was locked into every cell in the gene and passed on to the future generations. So I don't know if you've watched, I had given David this video to Google. I think he'd watched it, but you might want to too, because that's what they really talk about. The opening in the genetic research arena happened around, actually, some things from your part of the world, where you're originally from. It was in northern Sweden, where there was a community up close to the Arctic Circle, where, of course, being that kind of weather patterns, often went through famines. And so what they this community was very meticulous, apparently, at keeping birth and death records and keeping records of what the harvest was like and when the famines hit. And so the geneticists went to work. There was a fellow that, and I don't recall his name. I apologize to you, sir, for not remembering your name, but if you Google his video, you'll love it. He's a really sweet guy. He actually, here's this scientist talking about genetics, and he's so excited about it. A couple of times in the video, he's literally almost in tears. He begins to cry at his the way his heart is opening as he's understanding more from a scientific point of view about what was taught thousands of years ago in the ancient scriptures about genetics. But what happened was he had this thesis that things were passed from generation to generation. Of course, it was called, it went totally against the dogma of genetic research. But he put it out in some obscure journal, and sometime later, I don't remember what the time frame was, a geneticist who's in this town studying these people in northern Sweden actually writes him and says, I've got some exciting news. We've got a whole study right here of exactly what you're talking about, and we can see what the harvest was. We know when these people's children were born and their children, and we can see the effect of that that famine up to, I forget in the research or this particular project, but I think that they were talking as much as 100 years later, we can see the effect of that famine on things like birth weight and death, time of death or age at which one died. They were able to see the effect of these famines on future generations from what had happened to the previous generations. So it's a pretty exciting video to watch and to see the scientist opening to this. And, of course, this man is just such a dear, sweet energy as he breaks into tears as he's talking about what this means to the world, because it is so meaningful. And I do have in my plan, I just became acquainted with this video a few days ago, watched it for the first time, but I have it in my plan to communicate with this fellow and share with him what we know about genetics, what we've been watching for three decades doing this work, and what the ancient Aramaic understood was, yes, it's all passed on, it's all energy, it's all frequency, and frequencies are stored, and people say, well, you know, I don't know, that seems a little... Well, you know, you know that if mom and dad had blue eyes, the baby's probably got blue eyes. Why? Well, it's just the color of their eyes. No, it's not. Blue is a frequency. The color of their hair, that's a frequency. It's all energy. And everything is stored in the structure and passed to the generations.
It's always exciting and impressive to get confirmation from, you know, more sources.
Absolutely. And if you haven't watched that video yet, it's really awesome. It's about 45 minutes. It's a free online video. For anybody that's listening, if you want to tap into it, just Google, and it's on Google Video, but just Google The Ghost in Your Genes, The Ghost in Your Genes, and it's pretty cool what they're coming up with, verifying, you know, and there's so many things coming out of science. You know, you look at the work of Bruce Lipton's a cell biologist. Now, if you go to the opening words in the book of John, where we're told it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word became flesh, in Aramaic, that's not what it says at all. What it says is, in the beginning was the mind energy, and the mind energy became flesh. They knew that 2,000 years ago. Now, let's come full circle 2,000 years later. This fellow named Bruce Lipton, who's a cell biologist, medical researcher, of course, he's totally going against the dogma of his profession. But here's what Bruce is showing, is that when you think a thought, that thought produces a molecule. And the molecule, called a neuropeptide, circulates around in the structure until it finds a cell with a receptor site that matches. It lands on the receptor site, and the cell replicates the neuropeptide chemically. And so now we're living with the chemistry of our thoughts. And I would say it really isn't chemistry. That's also another limiting belief. It's really just an energetic pattern that registers in the cell from the energetic pattern of the neuropeptide. So you think a thought, and it shows up in your cellular structure, and that same frequency is registered in the dream genes. So when you really, if you're the first generation that has conceived of really, truly healing, notice that when you get into certain situations where the stress is up and the chips are down, you'll tend to use the word patterns, the thought patterns, the behavior patterns of the previous generations. Because with all kinds of emotional charge around them, that's how the previous generations handled it. And it's those frequencies, those generational frequencies, that literally kill and knock out our human lives. You know, that story of the Jews wandering in the desert for 40 years is simply the story of us being trapped in our own genetics, in the predisposition. And they said that in order to move from the desert to the promised land, what had to happen? They said the old generation had to die off. That didn't mean everybody in old physical bodies had to physically die. It meant that all the old, the root of the word generation is genari, which means cause. All of the old causes held in the genetic structure, passed from generation to generation to generation, had to be forgiven, had to be removed, in order for us to be able to actually reclaim our human lives. And we find it very easy to establish what human life is. Just hold a newborn child. You'll know exactly what human life is. It's absolutely the awesome presence of love. That's what we humans are. And if we're not living that, it's because we've got generational frequencies that are running us. And sadly, one of the things that happens is, in these, especially in these generational situations, is we tend to turn our behaviors over to the people we hate the most. The people we have the most resistance to, which is our power person, we tend to end up getting trapped in the behaviors that that power person did to us that we absolutely hated, but because we were so small and had no way to refuse it or deal with those frequencies, and here was this God, mom or dad, usually, though not always, who was engaging in this when the stress was up and the chips are down, we turned back to what's stored in our genetics and say, hey, the stress is up and the chips are down, what behavior should I do now? And what we'll do in those extreme moments is exactly the behaviors of our power persons, because that's what we conceived of when we were 3, 4, 5 as the way to win. So we turn to this database, this multi-generational, and we say, how do we win in this situation? Oh, just rage or whatever, you know, puke on somebody. And in so doing, we give up and lose our human lives. And the whole idea of this work is to start to systematically and consistently remove every frequency that is unlike human life, so that we show up in our lives, in our relationships, and in our world as humans, as love, the awesome presence of love that each of us is.
Michael?
Yes, sweetie?
We have, it's not out of the chat room, but I received an email, and it says, I have quite a few conclusions and beliefs in me that aren't doing me any good. Like, if I live up to my potential, I'm going to get in trouble and people are going to hate me. How do get this grunge out of my system? I know you say, Yeshua said, love and forgiveness, but how do I get there? I have filled out 3 reality management sheets in the meantime, but how do I keep honest with them and not just skip over the tough feelings that keep coming up for looking for triggers? And what about the triggers that I've buried, hoping that they would compost?
That's a good way to say it, hoping they would compost. That's cute. Well, you know, it takes the conscious, continuous commitment to systematically dismantle those frequencies. 3 worksheets is a good start. That would be about the first half a day's work around that kind of an issue. But if you're dealing with and recognizing that you're holding those kinds of realities, all that those realities are frequencies in your mind. When situations, you know, let's say an opportunity to be successful shows up, and you hold that, and, you know, who knows, maybe great-grandpa was the most successful businessman in town, and somebody shot him in the brain because they were jealous of him and stole his money. So then, you know, as grandpa lays dying in this emotional trauma, and, oh, my God, I'm leaving my family, and, no, this is so horrible, and, oh, I hate this so much, and, boy, I wish I'd never been this successful – literally, that's a thought pattern that goes into the genes. If you are the inheritor of that kind of a pattern, then you're going to have to do the work that it takes to become cognizant of what's in your genes and to dump it out. The reality management worksheet that I was talking about a few minutes ago, go to www.whyagain.com. On the right-hand side, there's a link that says download worksheets. Download the first file, which is chapter 24 from my book, instructions for filling out the worksheet, and then take the worksheet and go to work with it. And, you know, when they said to Yeshua, well, you know, when you got one of these really grungy ones, one of these really major issues, you know, is seven worksheets enough to do? And in Aramaic, what he said was, no, he said 77 times 70. That's 7 times 7, 0. Their question was, is 7 enough? Now, when you add a 0 to a number scripturally, I'd offer that's infinity, and 7 is a number of completion. How many worksheets will you do until you remove that frequency? You're going to do an infinite number until you're complete with that issue. And, you know, there's no apology for that. That's just the way it is. That's just the way it works. We need to develop the skills. You know, our world has taught us this fascination with the outer eye, always looking out there for something. You know, let's go to the Colosseum. You know, and of course, the modern Colosseum, if you watch the TV series Spartacus and you look at these people with these, you know, just blood sports, just reveling in people being torn to shreds, you know, it's not quite that vicious today, except in places where we go kill people. But, you know, you go to the Colosseum, you look at how much money and time and energy people put into, you know, their blood sports, their football, their hockey and such. If we could get people to put 10%, you know, you go to any major sporting events and just look at, you know, how many millions of dollars that one event are spent on hot dogs and sugared carbonated water and alcohol and the ticket to get in the place and the transportation to get there and the parking. If people would spend 10% of that throughout their lives cleaning up their genetics, developing the skills, and it's a skill set. Don't expect to jump in there first shot and go, oh yeah, I remember that from great great grandpa. Yeah, now I can take that old trauma out and move it out of my structure. It's not going to happen. We're talking about a skill set here. We're talking about you're going to develop the skills of being able to go into and change what's in your own structure. First shot out of the first shot out, you're not going to do that. It's going to take practice. And so, you know, David created the Building the Brain Cells game, inviting people to do 5 worksheets a day for 40 days for a start, and to read 15 minutes in the book, Why Is This Happening to Me Again?, to build the brain cells and to build the skills of how to move these energies out of the structure. If you went back to Yeshua 2,000 years ago and you asked him, how do I do this? What am I going to have to do? Now, this is an Aramaic idiom. And it's one that's just been totally misinterpreted. But if you ask Yeshua that question, he would say to you, if you want to be able to do the things that I'm doing, and you remember he said, the things I do, you can do, and greater. But when asked, what do I have to do? He said, you would have to eat my body and drink my blood. Now, that hasn't got to do with wafers and wine. That's too easy. That's like, you know, that's the wimp's road. That's a wonderful ceremony, a wonderful way to share and break bread. But in Aramaic, eat my body and drink my blood is an idiom that means you're going to have to totally digest and know and develop the skill sets that I have if you want to do what I do. Now, most people want to just be able to jump up and down and shout his name and say, there we go, see, we got it. Doesn't happen that way. You have to take on the work. You're going to have to do the work. And, you know, from what you're saying in that email, that's a pretty major issue, that reality. And I don't know what its root is, but I suspect it's probably a multi-generational one. And so you've got work to do. I suggest that you might want to contact David at Heartland and join the Building the Brain Cells game. And basically the game consists of a commitment, 5 worksheets a day, 40 days, 15 minutes reading the book, every Sunday night, a conference call. David, do you want to say any more about building the brain cells, seeing as how you are the inventor of the game?
I'll be glad to, Michael. And, you know, that was my first thought when the person asked that question. And you know, it's a challenge to do this work, because what we're coming up against is not just what it is that I'm thinking. It is what it is that, you know, I'm carrying genetically. And so this work is about supporting that. And if the person would like to go and take a look at the PowerPoint presentation on the website, and again, just go to games and then building the brain cells, it gives you an idea about how you can get started with it. And there's a couple of different ways. You can begin by just doing one worksheet a day and spending 5 minutes doing either reading or watching or listening to a video or a CD. And to just make a couple of commitments and then acknowledge when those commitments, that when you've completed those commitments. And again, the explanation is on the website. And if you have some questions, please contact me. My email address is there. It's davidhayes@yagain.com. And go ahead and do this, because what you're coming up against is what everyone comes up against just as soon as we start. You know, it's kind of like when we do change a diet, that we're going to give something up and or do something different. Then the first several times in doing it is what's real challenging. So I can talk about that a lot. And Ken has a question here in reference to what you were discussing a little bit earlier. So caller, if you would, if you want to come online and if you want to come on the phone and talk about it, well, then we can share it with everyone that's on the radio, because I can talk forever about it, and I want to make sure that I'm covering what it is that you want to hear. So here's Ken. Let me give this to Ken. Let him ask his question.
I just wanted to make a statement, actually, and that is just that one thing I've noticed is that occasionally it's, a lot of times if it's a deep issue, it's almost imperceptibly easier the second time I think a new thought. If I'm sensitive, which usually in big issues I'm, you know, not that sensitive to minor changes, I got to have big changes to notice a difference. But if it's a big thing, it's almost imperceptible that I'm creating a change after one time thinking a new thought. But after 10 times, maybe it's quite perceptibly or more easily perceptible to notice a difference in how I feel about that issue. And after 100 times of disciplining myself to do the worksheet or whatever it is that I'm using, then it gets significantly easier. So I think it depends on the issue, how deep the issue is, how willing you are, how much letting go or forgiveness you're actually willing to do about the issue at that moment. So it changes from moment to moment. But a lot of times at first it's almost imperceptible, but you just have to be disciplined and keep at it, and eventually you'll start noticing, or at least I do.
That's a great point, Ken. Yeah, you're right on track. It does take work to change, because there are so many, it's such a huge database. When you start thinking and realizing that what we're working out of, what drives our behavior, what literally shows up in our mind as the whole world that we see is the firing of frequencies from 1,000 generations. I mean, it's huge. And that's why they spoke of 40 years in the desert, because the unconsciousness behind this database that tends to run us is huge. And it seems like it would be impossible to do. That's why many religious systems have been made up where there's no work to be done. You just call in somebody else and they're going to take care of it for you. Well, you know, if you look around at the world where people are calling on somebody else to take care of it for them, you know, it's just still a pretty rough existence. A lot of murder, a lot of killing, a lot of crazy stuff still going on. And, you know, it's just time for us to recognize what the real work was and engage it. So that's a great point. And one of the other things that I've noticed over the years is that oftentimes I'll be surprised at myself when an issue that normally, you know, something happens and normally I, you know, go into some sort of a snit or what have you, all of a sudden I look around for, where's that reaction? Well, wait a minute, what happened? I should be enraged right now, or I should be in fear right now, or what have you. And all of a sudden, those reactions, as you do your work, just disappear. Jeannie has a cool story that she shared a couple times that would fit perfectly here, Jeannie, if you would, about the physician out in Las Vegas when we did that workshop. Would you share that story,
yeah,
Jeannie?
Sure. Yeah, I had been working for probably, oh, I don't know, 3-4 months maybe even longer than that, on the situation.
5 years.
An issue for me of not being good enough, or kind of like being a prop in the workshops or whatever, just, you know. But anyway, I've been working on that, doing worksheets on it for a long time. And we were doing a weekend intensive type workshop, and we had been doing some processing, and so I put in some information, just some of my opinion and something that I observed, to this gentleman who was in the middle of his process. And we went on, and then we took an intermission for lunch. And while we were during that intermission, this girl came up to me, and she said, "Can I talk to you privately for a minute?" And I was like, "Sure." So we went in another room. And she said, "I don't know if you noticed, but when you answered that guy," and she called him by name, she said, "he didn't even look at you. He kept looking at Michael." And said, "that was just like dissing you." She said, "you know." And so it was like a great aha for me, because before I had been doing worksheets, that would have been exactly what would have triggered. Yeah, see? But I had zero reaction. It was like I had not even noticed that he wasn't paying attention to me. And so it was like I had worked through that issue and didn't even realize I had worked through it. It was just like all of a sudden it just wasn't there. And so I was really glad that she pointed it out to me, because it gave me really great affirmation, or great confirmation that my work had worked. And I told her, I said, "but, you know, you probably need to do some worksheets on it," because she was really irate. And so we talked about it and processed her a little bit on it, though. But that was just a really good, you know, I had worked through it, and it had been a big issue for me. But until the occasion arose and somebody pointed it out to me, I had not paid attention that all of a sudden it was gone. There was just no emotion there. And it was, it just kind of tickled me, because it was like, yay, they really do work.
Yeah, it's true. It is awesome. And those generational issues, they can trap us so quickly and so easily. And it's as it should be. It's perfect, because, you know, the comparison I've come up for with the work there is that working through your issues is kind of like going to the gym. You know, you have to do it yourself. People say, "well, can I go to a therapist? What if somebody hypnotizes me? Blah, 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 blah." Well, that's like saying, you know, I want to become a world-renowned bodybuilder with a sculpted body like Atlas. But, Harry, I want you to go to the gym for me every day and do my workout. You know, it's not going to happen. You've got work to do. Your work will develop your spiritual strengths. And as you develop your spiritual strengths, you will have exactly what Yeshua said was, you will have eaten his body and drank his blood. You will have developed an awareness and an understanding and a skill set that matched his skill set. And then you'll be able to do the same things. And it's not a wimp's work. It's real committed, and you have to be consistent, systematic way. And that reality management worksheet, on the website, you're welcome to go download it free. If you want more instruction on it, of course, the book can also be downloaded free. Why is this happening to me again? Is a whole story of how that worksheet unfolds and develops. Or if you want to order a DVD, there are DVDs and CDs of Why Is This Happening to Me Again. You can buy a copy of the book, Why Is This Happening to Me Again, on CD. Or, of course, you know, rather than download it free, you can also order a printed copy. Or you can buy a DVD of the live workshop, which is about a two-hour and 20-minute DVD. There's also a four-hour CD of that worksheet process. So there's several different ways to access it, and it's a key tool. You know, when you go back and you look at the disciples and basically the whole work of the man named Yeshua, you know, he's popularly known as Jesus, but that was not his name. Jesus, Jesus, is the copy of the Greek god Zeus, and it comes out of Greek philosophy, and a lot of Greek philosophy is put in his mouth. That's not where he came from. He came from the Aramaic. His name was Yeshua. And his whole work was about conversion. And conversion isn't about bringing somebody into your church. Conversion is about taking those who live in an hostility and fear-based mind and converting them back to a love-based mind. Each one of us came in absolutely as the awesome presence of love. That's still there. That's still who each and every one of us is. Absolutely no question about that. That's who we are. Are there evil people in the world? Absolutely not. No human is evil in the sense that the Greeks would teach evil. Now, in the Aramaic sense, we're all evil, and the word evil means unripened or incomplete, like a piece of fruit. None of us is finished. We're all in process. But there is not an evil human being. No such thing exists. However, there's all kinds of insane content that's come from the generations, the rages, the fears, the hostilities. And so we come in as love, and then a power person who doesn't know themselves as love functions out of hostility and fear and activates those frequencies of the generations of hostility and fear, and we tend to take on those behaviors, and then we function not as love, not as beings that we are, but we function out of whatever those generational dynamics are. And so conversion was about taking people back from that hostility and fear-based mind into where they functioned out of a love-based mind. And you look at the disciples, you know, there were 12 guys that he worked with full-time for 3 years. And you notice what 11 out of 12 of them did when the stress was up and the chips were down. After 3 years of full-time training, what did they do? They denied him and took off. One of them even cursed him. And when you think about that, you realize this is not a wimp's work. This is not something, you know, I've got $5 and 5 minutes to tell me everything you know. That's why we're doing this radio show an hour a day, 5 days a week, is to provide the space of support for you to do your work and for people that you know. You know, there's a wonderful African proverb that says, if you want to go quickly, go alone, but if you want to go far, go together. Now, you're sitting out there listening on the phone or in the chat room, and you've got a neighbor that doesn't have a clue what we're talking about. But you know something? If you introduce that neighbor to forgiveness and to this work, then you're going to have a support person right next door to you. Or maybe the person you sleep in the same bed with, introduce them to it. And then you can have a support person in your bed who, when you go into your hostility and fear, can support you in healing, and your children and your parents and your coworkers. You know, there's a particularly poignant story that Julie Haverstick, who wrote the book Healing Children, Loving Children, shares. And she had a niece who worked for a large insurance company in New York City. And this gal was a high school graduate. This goes back about almost 20 years ago, shortly after we opened Heartland. This gal was a high school graduate. She had reached the pinnacle of her career in the insurance industry. She was making about $35,000 a year. With her level of education, she would never go any further and never make any more money. And she came to visit Julie one weekend, and she was really an upset because she and her boss were fighting, and they acknowledged to each other that they hated each other. The boss hated this young woman, and this young woman hated her boss. Well, Julie introduced the forgiveness process to her and actually spent a whole weekend just doing worksheets with her around her boss. This gal flew back to New York when the weekend was over, went to work on Monday morning, and she was only in the office for a couple of hours when her boss called her into the office and said, what's going on? What's changed? And she shared with her boss that she'd forgive this process and that she'd been doing worksheets. And her boss said, well, you know, whatever it is, it works. I want to know about it. So she started to teach the forgiveness process to the boss that she hated and that hated her. And they would do worksheets together. About 6 months later, a posting came up for a job that required a college degree. Of course, this gal only had high school. Her boss went to the executives of the company and said, here's what you're going to do. You're going to give this gal the job with the pay grade that goes with it, even though she's not qualified, and then you're going to pay for her to get her university degree to qualify her for the job. So the woman that she had an acknowledged hate relationship ends up more than doubling her salary after she learns forgiveness. And I'm telling you, the changes that take place are absolutely awesome. It can be done. Now, when the mind is serving up some form of hostility or fear, especially if it's one that's been going on for generations and generations and generations, that frequency that's firing in the mind seems like the only thing that's real, the only thing that's possible. No, this is all there is. This is the truth. It's like, baloney, it's not the truth. All it is a frequency in your mind. All it is an energy that's come from the generations. Develop the skill set to change your mind out of hostility and fear, forgive, and you remove those frequencies. And all of a sudden, you're living in a different world. I mean, literally, you're living in a different world. In fact, in the ancient Aramaic, where they understood the physics of this, they said the world will be transformed in the twinkling of an eye. That means there's a literal physiological shift in the way the energy system functions. As you change your part in it, it's awesome. And it can be done. So if you've never engaged it, it seems, you know, that seems a little much. And there's work to be done, and you're going to have to face what's in you. Not easy, not Dr. Feelgood. Simple and doable, however. So any other questions in the chat room or anybody on the phone, Jeannie?
No, there's not, but I do have a question, I guess, for David. I know that when you do the Building the Brain Cells game, you usually have people text you that they've completed their assignment. But the gentleman that posted that question about what does he do, and I think the game would be good for him, he's actually in Germany. So he wouldn't have the ability of texting or calling. So would emailing work to do that, or how would you do that?
Yeah, emailing, texting, or phone call. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay.
It's just about...
He could easily email. He could easily email, and I say he could easily email and probably could Skype into the Sunday night call as well.
Yeah, I could do that. And we're working at setting it up. As you know, that's part of what we're doing with this radio and setting it up to where that we can connect with people all over the globe, everywhere. So, yes. And, again, he can go on and get my email address, and if he wants to email me with some questions, well, then I'll be glad to answer them.
Okay, awesome.
So David's address is David Hayes, DavidHayes, at whyagain.com. So you could drop David an email. And as he said, when you go to the website, www.whyagain.com, on the right-hand side of the homepage, you'll see a link that says Games. And if you click into Games, you'll see Building the Brain Cells. And I'm wondering, Jeannie, if maybe we should shift that Building the Brain Cells to be one more link. I don't know if there's room on the homepage for a link for Building the Brain Cells, but maybe put that as a link on its own on the right-hand side.
Sure.
Because it's important. I mean, it's... One of the things that I'm seeing is the people who get into playing that game really end up doing the work and benefiting in huge ways. And we're just about down to our last minute and a half of our show. The time goes fly when you're having flies by when you're having fun. If you're in Florida, come see us tonight at Unity of Pompano Beach, just off Atlantic Boulevard and 95, east of the interstate, 7 to 9:30. We're going to do Introduction, Advanced Understanding of A Course in Miracles. If you're ready for a leap in your process, then from 9 o'clock tomorrow morning until 9 at night, and then 9 till 6 on Sunday, we'll be doing an intensive process here in Fort Lauderdale. Give me a call on my cell if you're interested in participating in that, 954-205-4996. Jeannie, any last second thoughts?
No, I don't have any except just, you know, tune back in on Monday and listen. And like you had already said, if you're in the Florida area, come join us this weekend.
Have a Absolutely. So for those who are on the call, please invite somebody to come and play with you tomorrow. If you are really gaining from this, you might want to support us with a donation. You can go to our website, and there's a donation button. Every little bit helps, and we're here to support you having the best year yet of your eternal life. Blessings.